This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
We have a new bank problem to report. This one is out of Europe, but is not limited to Europe. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. After the two regional banks failed in the U.S. late last week, this time it's a big Swiss bank under at least some pressure. Credit Suisse stock this morning down 29% to an all-time low after that bank revealed its auditor had found problems in financial reporting controls. My Marketplace colleague, the BBC's Liana Byrne, has more from the U.K.
After having a bit of a rally yesterday, European banking stocks are back in the red. There's a few reasons for this. First of all, investors are still worried about the health of industry bond portfolios after Silicon Valley Bank collapsed. And that's after European finance ministers have said there's no risk of contagion here. But another factor is the Swiss bank Credit Suisse. The bank has had problems for a while. Most recently, it had to delay publishing its annual report following a call from the SEC over previous financial statements. But now Credit Suisse is in the spotlight because of the concerns over the financial sector as a whole. Trading was halted after a steep 10% drop in its shares after its top shareholder, Saudi National Bank, ruled out providing more financial assistance. It means that right now, banks in Europe are seeing things go from bad to worse.
Again, while the catalyst for the Credit Suisse story is about weakness in accounting, underlying worry in banks both here and abroad is the difficulty of turning the safe investments that banks have into ready cash if depositors come for their money. Susan Schmidt is head of public equity at the State of Wisconsin Investment Board.
Well, they should be safe, but remember that bonds are like a seesaw. When interest rates go up, prices fall, and if interest rates go down, prices go up. So they act in opposite directions. That's a problem right now because we've seen interest rates increase, which means the value of these bonds has declined. And the banks are feeling that right now because the assets, those bonds that they've been sitting on, have suddenly declined in value.
Right. So if they waited till the bonds matured, they'd get the money as planned. But if all these depositors show up saying, I want my money, you got to sell them today. And to do that when interest rates are going up, these are old bonds. They're not as nice as the new bonds.
You do. When depositors come knocking at your door and want to take their money out, then you're going to have to convert those bonds to cash. So you have to sell them at a loss. So you're locking in that loss. And that's the problem that we're seeing with some of these banks.
Also, there are different rules for how you report the value of these bond portfolios, depending if you're a really big bank or if you're medium-sized, like Silicon Valley Bank or Signature.
That's right. Where we've seen weakness is in the regional banks. When you get to be a bigger bank, so holding more than $250 billion in assets, and assets mean security portfolios or loans, that bank that's over $250 billion has to report the changes in its portfolio quarterly. So it has to remark those bonds as we move through each quarter, thereby narrowing the differential. It doesn't get to be so different than what the true price is because you've adjusted it along the way. Smaller banks don't have to do that, and that's where they can be caught out.
Susan Schmidt, head of public equity at the State of Wisconsin Investment Board. Always good to talk.
Thank you.
Money is going into U.S. government bonds as a safer haven, pushing the benchmark 10-year interest rate down sharply to 3.41% now. Mortgage rates have also come down from highs last week, and new mortgage applications are up 6.5% this week. More now on the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank. The government had opted to rescue all depositors there, not just the ones covered by normal FDIC insurance. And now a shareholder lawsuit and published reports of regulatory and criminal investigations and potential changes to the rules governing mid-sized banks. Marketplace's Nova Safo is tracking all of this.
David, let's start with those investigations. Both the Justice Department and the Securities and Exchange Commission are reportedly probing what happened at Silicon Valley Bank. They're apparently also looking into the actions of the executives at the bank's parent company and stock sales they conducted. Those sales were disclosed to the SEC, by the way. The shareholder lawsuit is a class action. It's against the bank's parent company, its CEO Greg Becker, and Chief Financial Officer Daniel Beck. They're accused of withholding information about how vulnerable the bank was to rising interest rates. And the rules changes are reportedly being considered at the Federal Reserve, and they would target mid-sized banks with assets in the $100 billion to $250 billion range.
All right, those are significant dollar figures. And I remember we covered it here because Congress actually exempted some of these banks, SVB among them, from the tougher rules.
That's right. And those tougher rules came in the Dodd-Frank Act. That law was a set of reforms passed after the financial crisis of the Great Recession. Those reforms were supposed to prevent the government from needing to come in again and rescue a major bank. But changes in Congress made in 2018, as you mentioned, exempted mid-sized banks from the strictest rules. And the thinking at the time was that these regulations were too onerous for small banks and they didn't pose a systemic threat anyway. Well, now we've seen otherwise with SVB, and so it's understandable that the Federal Reserve might want to update its regulations.
Once did a story about a woman in Massachusetts who built a duplex using the most environmentally sustainable approaches that she could find at the time. Instead of interior paint, there was a safe tint mixed into the concrete itself. There was something newfangled at the time, LED lighting and hyper-efficient mini furnaces. Now, it's been about 15 years or so, and sustainable building materials have become big business, an $80 billion market. The Mountain West News Bureau's Caleb Radel checked in with one of the companies trying to meet the demand.
It's a Wednesday afternoon inside a 67,000-square-foot manufacturing facility in Reno, Nevada. A large machine is moving a fluffy off-white material through a series of drum rollers. The substance is being layered into panels of insulation, made from something you're more likely to find on a sheep than inside a house.
Wool. Hot, cold, warm, dry. Wool does it all.
That's Andrew Legge, the founder of Havelock Wool. He says he started the company in response to the lack of healthy and sustainable insulation choices. Common materials like fiberglass and spray foam can contain toxic chemicals that pose health risks to installers. Legge says that's pushing more homeowners to say,
"Wait, I don't want that." And if we're doing our job, then when they go searching for an alternative, they find us.
And a lot of people did during the pandemic. Havelock Wool's sales quadrupled in 2020, and grew another 25% the next year. Legge says sales were flat last year because production couldn't keep up with demand. But businesses like Havelock Wool face plenty of challenges, says John Freer. He leads the sustainable construction program at Missoula College in Montana.
It's an industry that's so resistant to change. And so when you're introducing a new material or a new technique, it's a little frightening.
And many customers are scared off by the prices. Sustainable insulation can cost twice as much as other types. Daniel Freeman builds homes in the Lake Tahoe region.
They love the idea and they get attached to it early on. And then once we get into what it costs, it doesn't make the cut.
But there are still plenty of buyers. Back at Havelock Wool, Legge says the company will increase its output later this year.
We are well aligned with what long-run demand looks like, for better, healthier, more sustainable products.
The company invested in new machinery so it can triple its processing capacity to more than 16,000 pounds of wool a day. I'm Caleb Bradle for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. It's the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.